We are in a series titled Bless the Community, and this morning is part two, but I want to do just a quick review from last week. We said that we learned that the way we become a blessing is we have to have a glow factor in our life. Jesus said this, it's in your notes, Matthew 5, 14 to 16. Let's read that together. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Let your light shine before men. Everybody here needs to have this glow factor in your life of Christ living in you. The word shine means to radiate brightness, give off light. It means to beam. And wherever you go, your life needs to beam. And the way you bless your home, you bless where you work, you bless the community you live in, is you have this beam factor, a glow factor, letting your light shine before others. Well, today is part two of our series, Bless the Community, and I've got a 39-second video to introduce the title of the message. Here it is.
Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission. To explore strange new worlds. To seek out new life and new civilizations. To boldly go where no man has gone before.
So how many Star Trek fans do we have here? Oh, we got a few. There weren't too many in the early service either. But I want to read back to you this promo announcement of what Star Trek is all about. Here's what it says. Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before. I want to paraphrase it and change it a little bit and insert the word church in there. The 21st century, incredible days of great opportunity. These are the amazing days of God's church at work. Its continuing mission, to bless the world, to seek out new people, to experience the grace of God, to boldly go where no church has gone before. You see, God has called his church, his people, to be bold in how they live. He wants you to live boldly as an individual in following your dreams and what you have in your heart that you want to do for others. He wants churches, gatherings of people, groups of people to live boldly, to make a difference in their communities, to make a difference in their homes. And so the word boldness we find in the book of Acts, the people live boldly because of the empowerment of God's Spirit in them. So the title of today's message is to boldly go where no man or no church has gone before. And so there's a verse in your notes. I'd like for us to read it together. Joshua 3, verse 4a. Let's read it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. The text is Joshua 3. The people of God are about to cross over the Jordan River. They've waited about 40 years for this because the earlier generation, because of unbelief, did not make it into the promised land. Then now the children of that generation has the opportunity to cross. So the people have to cross over the Jordan River, which, by the way, is at flood stage. God gets greater glory when life is difficult and we can somehow trust him to make it through. And so the people want to cross over to the promised land, but here's what Joshua said. He said, "Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before." The people there had not ever crossed the Jordan nor been into the land of Canaan. You may be here today, and you are entering a chapter of life that you have never been that way before. It's intimidating, it's fearful, it can be confusing and daunting. It's like when a high schooler or senior graduates and goes to college, it's a big step. When someone gets married, they are going somewhere they've never gone before. It's new territory. It could be raising children or grandchildren. And there's this sense of, I'm at an intersection, a crossing of the Jordan, and I've never experienced this before. It could even be when grandparents and you enter retirement and you say, I've never experienced or done this before. All of us here have times in life in which we go into new territory. And so what I want to do today, when we think about blessing the community and going where we've never been before, using Joshua chapter 3, I want to share with you four steps, four stages, four thoughts of how we enter into new territory, how we navigate it, what we have to do or not do. And so it's in your notes. Let's get started. Four steps in venturing into new territory. Number one, the first step is this: follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Number one, always follow the leading of God Himself into your new territory. Read with me verses 3 and 4 in your notes. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you're to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. We find here, Joshua says, number one, follow the Ark of the Covenant. In the Old Testament, the ark was a wooden box carried on staves or poles on the shoulders of the priests. Inside this ark, there were three things. There were the Ten Commandments. There was a jar of manna, and there was Aaron's rod. But this was God's presence in the Old Testament. And Joshua says this to the people: when the ark moves, you move. If the ark does not move, God's presence, you do not move. You may be at an intersection in life saying, what's my next step? Here's the key insight. Follow the ark. Do you sense God's presence leading you? And if you do not, it's good to stay put. If you sense He is moving or leading, you then need to follow it. And so He says, when you see the ark, I want you to move out. Now let me share why that's so important. When you and I listen to the voice of God, here's what it'll do. His word will direct you. His power will transform you, and His favor will bless you. All when we follow the Ark of the Covenant. I want you to notice that Joshua said, keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. It's about a half mile. Kind of an interesting thought. Keep a little distance. And here's what it means. I think he was saying, always keep God in view so you can see it. But here's the key. Don't crowd God's leading in your life. What does that mean? It means that you and I have desires that we would like to see God fulfill in our life. Some of them are right on track. Others are more Larry ideas than God's ideas. And when we crowd God's leading, we somehow sometimes want to lead Him rather than Him leading us. So Joshua says, listen, keep it in view, but don't crowd God. Let him lead in your life. And when you see the ark moving, move out. When you don't, stay put. See, there's always opportunities in life or situations and circumstances that we'd like to get out of. And sometimes God leads us out. Other times he says, stay put. But it's always about following the ark of the covenant. Read with me Joshua 3:11 in your notes. See, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. I want us to understand, when we follow the ark, God has already gone before. He knows the plan. He knows the next step. All we have to do is follow it. And so I want to share a few quotes here. Here's the first one. Follow God, not people. There's a lot of voices in life, are there not? Family voices. There's voices through the media, through the news networks. There's voices all over. Follow God, not people. Listen for his voice. Here's another. The secret of following God's will is wrapped up in rejecting the good for God's best. Let me explain that. There's a lot of good choices in life. What you do on Sunday morning, what you do during the week, where you go. Do you spend time in God's presence, or you just go do something good? But there's a best at stake. And if you and I want to live the life that blesses a community or our family or our neighborhood or our office, we have to say, God, what is your best for me? And that is what I want. And here's the last one. Don't worry that you don't know all the right moves. God does. You simply need to follow his lead. So point number one, if you're at a place in life where you're unsure of the territory you're about to enter into, here's the key. Keep your eyes on the Ark of the Covenant. God's presence. Why? His word will direct you. His power will transform you. And his favor will bless your life. Let's go to number two. The second step in venturing into new territory is this. Consecrate yourself to what God is calling you to do. Let's read verse 5 in your notes. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Let's talk a little bit about the word consecrate. Consecrate means to be set apart for a purpose. It's a heart issue. And we find the scripture says that who will approach the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a clean heart. So the word consecrate means that we give our total self to God and we yield it to him. It's a place of surrender. It's a place where we submit to his lordship. We give him everything we have. And we say, God, I'm going to live for your purposes. Here's what Joshua said. If you and I consecrate ourselves, I mean, we say, God, here's my whole heart. Here's what he does. He will do amazing things in us and through us. But it takes a commitment of consecration. I read a story by Mark Batterson in his book, All In. He talks about Hernan Cortez in the year 1519. He was a Spanish explorer, and he set sail for Mexico. He had 11 ships, 13 horses, 110 sailors, and 553 soldiers. They arrived at their destination. They got off the boats. They were mathematically outnumbered because the people of the land at that time were much larger than their numbers of all the people he brought with him. But here's what he asked him to do. He told his people to burn the ships. And so they were all set on fire. And they all sank. You see, Cortez was saying this, there's no retreat from this mission. We are here to move forward. And the word consecrate means to burn the ships of our past. Now, there's some things that he went on to share about what does the ship really mean. And let me give you some examples. It may mean the ship of past failure. We got to let it go. Maybe it's the ship of past successes that we're hanging on to. It could be the ship of a bad habit. It could be the ship of regret. Something in my past that is hanging on to, and I just can't get free of it. Could be the ship of guilt. It could be the ship of my old way of life. You see, when you burn that ship, there's no going back. There's no way back. And the only way forward is when you believe God for the mission he's called you to live, and you will live that going forward. So we find here that Joshua said this, consecrate yourself. I mean, give your total heart to God. And then when you are all in for his purposes, you live all out so you can literally fulfill what God has called you to do in your home and in your community and in the church. Here's a couple of quotes I want to share with you. Consecration is only possible when we give up our will about everything. I mean, when we really give God our entire heart, let me tell you, he then gives all of himself back to us. And consecration is that key element. Here's another quote. The world has yet to see what God will do with a man or a woman fully consecrated to him. I mean, any heart that is fully yielded, it's who knows what God can do with that individual. You could be the next person that could make a huge difference in our community, in our county itself. And here's the last one. With complete consecration comes perfect peace. As you look into your heart and you know if it's all aligned, if it's all surrendered, or if there's a battle going on, when we fully consecrate the heart, we experience perfect peace. I can remember as a young person, high school, then went to college. I was a believer. God had a foothold in my heart. I was his child. But my heart was not fully surrendered. And I remember a night at a Bible school, after a service, going to the altar, and I somehow got to the place with the grace of God that I could surrender everything. And he set me free that night. And there was a sense of perfect peace that came upon my heart. And even though I haven't been perfect since that time going forward, the peace of God reigns in people's hearts that are surrendered to him. And so, number one, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Number two, consecrate yourself to what God is calling you to do. Burn the ships that you need to burn in your life. Number three, the third stage or step is this. There will come a time to step in to the water. Step into the water. Read with me verse 8 in your notes. Tell the priest who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. There were 12 priests representing the 12 tribes of Israel. They had the Ark of the Covenant, this box that contained the Ten Commandments, the jar of manna, and Aaron's rod. They were carrying it in front of the people going through the Jordan. But here's the key. It wasn't until they stepped into the water that the waters began to somehow pile up. They had to first step into the water. They could be 1 foot to the water's edge and nothing happened. And yet when they stepped in, when they stood in the Jordan, that is when the miraculous power of God was released. So you're here this morning, and maybe there's something in your heart that God has prompted you to do, or he wants you to do. It's not until we take that step into the river itself, a step of faith, that the supernatural powers of God are released. I thought about some different ways. The church has been a blessing to the community. Let me share some with you. The food backpack program with the middle school and high school. It's a connection point. How about soup on Tuesdays? It's a connection point to bless the community. How about the video series, The Chosen, that's going to happen Tuesday night? I want to go myself. And it's a way to somehow bless the bigger population. How about the young at heart who are planning a trip to Lancaster? Who else can you pull in that you could bless in a greater way? The tea event or the women's conference coming up. It's a way to connect with others. How about Operation Christmas Child? You got to step in. You got to put your feet in the water. You got to collect the boxes or the materials. And there's a lot of things to be done, but it takes stepping in. How about the Pregnancy Center in Liberty, in which Pat is through the missions department raising some funds for that? How about meals given to people in the church and the community? You got to step in. How about the pavilion? We plan to get that up this summer. The Family Center building, you got to step in. And here's a big one. As we think of May 22nd and our Invite Your One Day, maybe stepping in for you is inviting someone to the service. You can get up to the water's edge, but it's only until you step into the river and do the invitation that something's released, that God can work in you and through you. So there's all kinds of ways that we step in to the water. Read with me 1 Corinthians 16, 6:19 in your notes. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You see, in the Old Testament, as I mentioned earlier, God's presence was represented by this Ark of the Covenant. In the New Testament, your body and my body is where God lives. I mean, imagine God himself is living in you and through you, and he calls us to step in through the power of his presence to make a difference in the lives of our families, in the lives of where we work, and even our community. Step in to the waters. Here's a couple quotes. Every adventure requires a first step. Let me ask you a question. What's your next first step? God will bring it to your heart. He'll make it clear. Could be scary. Could be intimidating. But everything, every adventure, every great work of blessing a community requires a first step. And here's another one. I believe it's by Martin Luther. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step. We'll never see the whole staircase at once. But you know what the next step is? It's the next first step. And when you do that, when you get into the Jordan, when your feet get wet, let me tell you, that's where the power is released. Things happen. God does amazing things. He'll do it through individual lives. He will also do it through churches that take the next first step for whatever God is calling them to do in the community. Step into the waters. So number one, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Number two, consecrate yourselves. Burn some ships so you can go all in. Number three, step into the water. And finally, number four, your obedience will result in the blessing of many. Your life can bless many people. Read with me verse 17 in your notes. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Circle the words, all Israel. Let me paint a picture. 12 priests are carrying the ark ahead of the people into the Jordan. Those 12 people had to go first. You know what happened to the 2 million people behind them? They walked across on dry ground. Listen closely. When you obey God in doing something he's calling you to do, you got a whole bunch of people coming behind you that are going to get blessed because of your obedience. When you take a church, a board, or a church family that gets a hold of what God is leading them to do, you know what happens? They step into the water. They have to go first. It's scary. It's intimidating. It's overwhelming. But when they do that, there's a whole bunch of people that will cross the Jordan River on dry ground because of the obedience of a few. You are sitting in a sanctuary that is a result of people who moved from the old church on the corner of East and Shepherd over to here in 2004. Brought the property in 2002. But here's what happened. There was a few people that took a step of faith to go into the Jordan River, scary, intimidating, buy the property, spend years renovating the building and adding on. And we are sitting in a building today. We are crossing over because of the obedience of a few. Now let me stop here. What does God want to do in the future through us to bless our community? I mean, think about it. You may be here and you have the next best big idea for the church. You don't even know it could be a game changer for the community. And you throw the idea out and you never know where it's going to go. And when a few people become obedient to the calling of God, listening to his voice, following the arc of his leading, and all of a sudden they step into the Jordan, you know what happens? God begins to work, and a whole bunch of people, it's called the community, could be the county, could be a state, all of a sudden they cross over on dry ground. That's how it works, but it takes the obedience of an individual or a few. Here's some quotes. Obedience to God will bring blessing to you and others. The next step, the first step, you follow the ark, you consecrate yourself, and you go for it. Here's another one. Obedience is your responsibility. The outcome is God's. In other words, our part is to take the step, the scary step. But when we get into the water and our feet are wet, the outcome of what happened is God's. And here's another one, just another way to put it. It says, obedience always brings blessing. When you and I follow the ark, it's the word to direct us. It's his power to transform us. It's his favor to bless us. And we consecrate ourselves. We go all in. We burn the bridges of our past. We say, God, I want my heart to be fully committed to your assignment. We then step into the water. God then releases his blessing into a community. In our class this morning, when Pastor Jack was leading us about the scent lab, and he was talking about how through Abraham, God blessed the entire world. The entire world, all the nations through one guy, the father of faith. He could do the same with your life. He could bless the entire world because of your act of faith. It takes one person. That's what he did to Abraham. Why can't he do it with you? And you may be here today saying, well, I just don't have much to offer. Neither did Abraham. But he was available. And God used Abraham to bless the entire world. I want to conclude with one thought. One last slide. Here it is. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, God lists out blessings and curses when you follow him and when you don't. And actually, there's a whole lot more verses on curses than blessings, but here's a key one of the blessing part. When you and I obey, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. We all get the head and the tail. You take a dog, the tail just follows behind. The dog, the mouth, the head, that's the part that goes first. Everybody here wants to be the head in life. You want to live a life that's effective and has an impact on your family and your friends, and you want to make a difference. We all have that desire. When we obey and we follow the ark, you become the head and not the tail. You become a sense of, you have a sense of peace and victory that maybe you didn't have before. You feel good about life. You feel energized. We are not perfect people. We will make mistakes. But I will say this. When we make decisions to follow in obedience the ark, God says you become the head, not the tail. Even in a community. A church that wants to serve and be a blessing to others, when we get in sync with what he's leading us to do, let me tell you, you become the head and not the tail. And provides great encouragement to us all to want what God wants for us. Number one, you follow the ark. If you're at a place in life, it's new territory, you don't know what to do, the ark represents the word to direct you, his power to transform you, and his favor to bless you. Number two, consecrate yourself. God, here's my heart. I'm going to give it all to you, which might mean burning some ships, the past, guilt, failure, whatever it is. Number three, be willing to take the first step into the Jordan. Scary. But you go there because that's where the supernatural is released. And finally, the priest stood there in the river until all the people passed by. That's how you bless a community. You stand strong until God does what he wants to do, and that miracle at some point will finish up and he'll be on to the next one. But when you stand firm in the Jordan, it says all Israel passed by because of the faith of 12 people, the priests. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Let's pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to walk through a few things and let God speak to your own heart. Here's the first one. Are you following the ark? When he moves, you move. When he doesn't move, you do not move. Follow the ark of his leading. Make that commitment. Number two, consecrate yourself. Now here's a question. Do you have anything in your life, in your heart, that needs to be forgiven or cleansed? You got to burn the ship. We confess it, we repent of it, we turn from it, we release it, and burn the boat. Let it go. Maybe it's guilt from the past. Maybe it's regret. Maybe it's failure. Whatever it is, burn the ship. There's no retreating to go back to the old way. And simply yield your full heart to him. Just give it to him right now and let him do that work in your heart. Number three, you got to step in. And what's he leading you to step into? Is it sharing your faith with somebody to invite them for May 22nd? Is it some ministry? Is it some opportunity that may not exist, or it does exist and it's working with kids or the elderly? You got to step in. Let God show you what that is. And then lastly, it says the priest stood in the middle of the Jordan until all Israel crossed over. There will come a point, or maybe you're at it right now, where your job is to stand. Your faith stands, makes you stand, and all the people around you are being blessed because of that. The obedience of a few results in the blessing of many. And finally, pray this prayer silently. Lord, make me the head and not the tail. Just claim it for yourself. Tell God you want to be the head. You want to be on the front end. You want to be obedient. And you want him to use your life to bless the community around us, to have a high glow factor in your life. Say, God, here I am. Make me the head and not the tail. Father, we bow and we just praise you and we thank you that you delight to take people like Abraham and delight to take people like us to bless people around us. So we offer ourselves to you. Each heart here today, this morning, those watching online, and we just pray that you'll take us and do something miraculous, do something powerful, do something that makes a difference in our community. Father, we just consecrate, we surrender, we yield everything in our lives to you and pray that as we follow the ark, your leading, your guidance, your blessing, Father, you will make us the head and not the tail. Be glorified in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.